If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
So that's kind of how it got started. It was just being in the right networks, talking about what we were going to do, and then proving, you know, we were going to go after it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Chris Leverick is a former firefighter in the United States Air Force, graduate of Arizona State University, holds an IT leadership role in the banking industry, and is a full-time real estate investor and managing partner of Valkyrie Investment Group. Since starting Valkyrie Investment Group, Chris has partnered with W-2 earners and fellow investors to achieve more choices and opportunities through real estate investing. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam.
Man, this is awesome. I'm jealous because I know that you're based out of Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm sure you guys probably have the nicest weather, maybe outside of Florida, in the country right now.
We're enjoying it. I mean, normally it's, 110? So it's a great time right now in Phoenix.
Yeah, but I tell you, it's a dry heat.
I still feel it.
You still feel it. That's awesome, yeah. Man. Hey, I'm excited to hear about your story and kind of where you come from. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on, you know, where'd you start? Where are you now? How'd you get there?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been doing this. So when I say we, my brother and I, Ashton LeBaric, we opened a company called Valkyrie Investment Group. And, you know, it didn't start that way. To go back to the roots, it was about early 2018, you know, started to have the idea to diversify. Myself and my brother, we came from the military. So we were both military guys. I got out in 2010, got into IT. I worked for a bank full-time in W-2. So I do this, I call this full-time, but I do the W-2 part-time. But, you know, did IT and I noticed as I was putting all this money aside in my 401k, really saw a dip in 2018. I'm not sure if everybody remembers, but, you know, lost a bit of money in my plan. And I kind of was like, man, you know, if I get to 67 and I'm doing this, I don't know if there's going to be much money left for what I want to do when I'm 67 or when I'm 65 or 60. You know, how else can I diversify? So turned to real estate, listened to podcasts, started looking at books. We dived into two duplexes in North Carolina in 2018. Me and my brother just pulled the trigger. You know, they were rough, 1940s, and needed significant renovations. But we really made it our model to partner with people. So even that first deal, we partnered with a private lender, an investor. And from there, we kind of grew. We did a small multifamily in North Carolina, Raleigh-Durham, for about, you know, 6 months, year, 12 months. And then we got into apartment complexes. We partnered, we found virtual assistants, and that's where we are now. We're doing syndication. We've done two big apartment deals this year, and that's where we're growing, and that's where we like the company to grow to. So
that's really pretty fast. I mean, for a lot of investors in the matter of basically, I guess we're talking, if you started early 2018, is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2018, so we're going on 36 months time to go from duplexes, you know, hiring the team. Kind of walk us through some of those thought processes, how you quickly made that shift, you know, how you select. I mean, how did you even, well, let me ask you just a direct question. How did you even get the hard money or the private lender to lend you the money without a track record on your first deal?
Definitely. So start friends and family. This was the person I worked with. It was a friend, you know, had some extra investment money that he wanted to use. And the big thing I tell people when you don't have a track record is partner with experts who give you credibility. Mm-hmm. And so I partnered with an attorney. I didn't partner, but, you know, I worked with an attorney to craft a joint venture agreement to get a deed of trust built.
Sure.
So, for listeners, deed of trust, just giving that private lender the collateral of the property we were working on, just like it would a bank, you know, and then, you know, using HELOCs and my own kind of money and putting our own kind of money in, but this private lender did do 70% of the acquisition. So we worked with an attorney, we found a property manager, we worked with contractors, and all those gave the credibility and the comfort feeling to that private lender.
Right. Now, do you have any construction background, any experience in the trades or something that would kind of lend, you know, some sort of know-how when you're dealing with these types of projects?
I do not, no.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, but what I do have is I'm really good at systems and processes. I worked in IT for 10 years. So putting those contacts together, automating pieces, you know, just the communication piece is huge.
Right. So you bought that deal and then you did a few more of those, or was it, I think you said it did a few more of those across North Carolina.
So we did kind of the Burr approach in the beginning. That's the, you know, where you buy something and you're going to renovate it, you're going to rent it and then go refinance it, get a lot of your money back out. So then we got into a couple different duplexes. So I think we did four duplexes after that in Durham, North Carolina. We got into a 5-unit. We got into a 13-unit, a 16-unit, and then we went to an 84-unit and then a 120-unit.
Wow. Okay. Hey, that's awesome. How did you decide to keep scaling up?
Yeah. So for me, I'm kind of more the detail analysis person, getting lost in the details. I want to take my time. Having the right partner, my brother, he's kind of more the push ahead, big visionary, let's go after it. And he did find new partnerships. And I think that's what it is. You start to see that, you know, you start to make that plan, that vision, that 5-year, 3-year, 1-year picture. And that's kind of how we start doing it. And we saw really quickly that these duplexes, although we were able to pull a lot of our money out with this Burr approach, we weren't really making a lot of money either. Because when you finance to max leverage to get all your capital out, you're really not making a lot of cash flow often.
Right.
So it wasn't in alignment with our big picture vision, which was creating passive income to a certain amount. And that wasn't happening. So we decided, okay, we're hearing about these efficiencies and these economies of scale on these bigger properties. And we decided, well, let's leverage up. Let's see how we can get to the next level. And that's kind of where it started.
Gotcha. So you went to the next level. I think you'd mentioned partnerships.
Correct.
So walk us through that. How did you develop those partnerships? How did you select the partners? You know, how does that work?
You know, it's interesting. You get that question. It's hard. Partnerships, if it's not in your family and you got to develop that trust, right? So initially, I don't think we were looking for someone to fill a specific role. We were just in the right networks. And we talked about what we wanted to do. And we talked about and we listened to what other people were good at. And we kind of understood what we were missing. And, you know, we, like everyone, we looked at mentors, we looked at different groups and coaching and, you know, how could we get to that next level? And we ended up doing it in a more traditional approach where just being in those networks, we found people who saw what we were doing and thought it was really cool. Like we did our first syndication alone. You know, we didn't have a mentor. We had one partner and he was boots on the ground in North Carolina. And, you know, that kind of proved our worth to some of the bigger players. And so we kept a relationship with a certain group for about 7 to 8 months before we ever, you know, partnered with them on a bigger deal. So that's kind of how it got started. It was just being in the right networks, talking about what we were going to do, and then proving, you know, we were going to go after it.
Right, right. And when you mentioned those networks, like, and I'm not asking for specific necessarily names of them, but what type of networks would somebody be getting involved in? Like, what could we look out for? I mean, especially in the days, in the year 2020, the face of networking has changed.
It has.
Yeah. So what's some advice you'd give to somebody who says, hey, I'm looking to join these networks, but what does that even mean?
Yeah. So a great place to start, you know, I was attending 3 meetups a month, all of 2019, physical meetups. It was hard. It was tough. And now we've gone virtual and we still keep that up. We run our own meetup as well. But that's where it started. We met, my brother was doing his own meetups too. He was actually living in North Carolina at the time. And so actually through one of his meetups, he met a flipper. And then that flipper was part of a network that had a few syndication groups in it. And so that's kind of how that grew. He was part of a mastermind flipping group that had a couple syndication groups in it as well. And so we ended, you know, we were doing syndication. So we got connected to that group. And then that's kind of how that formed. But it all started with, physical meetups. Now it's virtual meetups. You know, find the niche you want to get into, whether that's multifamily or, you know, syndication or whatever. See if you can go find a group like that. Or just go to a group that you like doing. Maybe you like tech. Maybe you like podcasting. Just talk with people about what you're doing on the side. And you know, you never know. So one person knows someone who can help you. So, yeah.
Right, right. Walk us through the financing on your projects. Now, I know you've used partners and that probably, like you said, that's developed some street credibility. But when it comes to financing your larger deals, you know, those partners help kind of sign on the dotted line to make you guys, you know, look like you have the experience that lenders want to see, or how did that work?
Yeah. So financing, how did we do it? In the beginning, we weren't using like agency debt. So we weren't going through, you know, these weren't big loans. I think our biggest was $960,000 purchase that we did, and we'd used our personal names on that, you know, backing it up with our personal names and with the rent that we could prove, the income we could prove. That's why I do like commercial over residential, is you can use the past rents to prove that this right. is a business plan. You right. know, whether me, myself, I have those that capital to back it up, at least you have this business plan that's proven. And there's a lot of hungry smaller banks out there. We used the local bank in North Carolina in the beginning. And really, it took just providing the right paperwork. And right now, I think it's even easier because, you know, maybe not since the events of 2020, but in 2019 and when we were getting started, there, you know, credit capital was pretty easy to find, you know, because there were so many projects that banks kept competing. So if you came with a good business plan and, you know, you had maybe one or two properties behind you showing some experience, it allowed us to scale. I mean, we were able to go into a 13 unit and a 16 unit without much question from the bank beyond, you know, providing a good business plan, demonstrating some past successes, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. That's fascinating. So you guys closed on, I guess now what's been your largest one up to this point?
120 unit, the one actually right behind me, if you're watching this on video.
Okay. Okay. Are you full-time now or are you still working on W-2?
Still working on W-2.
Okay. Gotcha.
So we built the business in that manner. We modulized it, I guess you could say. So that we have virtual assistants, we have different players playing different roles. There's about 8 people that work in this business that we have, and everyone is kind of does it. They have other work events that they're doing on the side as well. So, you know, and that's one approach. You know, you can either wear all the hats and do it full time, or you can find a way to systematize it and have different people fulfilling different roles. So
how did you decide? Because a lot of us have to figure it out on the fly. Like you don't even know necessarily what those positions are or who's going to do what until you figure out what the need is. At least that's, you know, commonly my thinking. It's like, oh my gosh, like I can't even tell you what to do before I know what needs to be done. So
totally.
How did you guys figure that out?
Yeah. I mean, it is trial and error. It's on the smaller properties. I think a big book that changed it for us was reading Free to Focus by Michael Hyatt. But in there, it talks about, you know, working on tasks that you're passionate about or that you're good at. And if you're not working on tasks that you're passionate and you're good at, then those are areas you need to shift to someone else. And so we made a huge list, you know, when we were 4 people, my brother and his wife and my wife joined the company. It was kind of us 4 trying to get these duplexes going for a while. And we found out, you know, like my brother wasn't very good at numbers, very good at underwriting. So, you know, do I want to do the underwriting? So I took the underwriting, but maybe he liked the network and brand better. So he did the network and branding. And we kind of started figuring out areas that we had gaps in. So the first part to start, I would say, to any business is get an assistant. So they can do a lot of that administrative work, you know, whether it's setting up a podcast or, you know, recording or writing an email or responding to a contract or something like that. So yeah, it is trial and error in the beginning. You can also see, maybe bounce it off someone in a meetup who has a successful business, be like, what pieces of the business do you have in yours that make it run the way you want? You know, use someone who has a working model. But yeah, it was a lot of trial and error in the beginning.
Right. Yeah. I don't think there's any good way necessarily around that. So you built out your team, you put the right people in place. What's your time commitment to it right now? And then, you know, where do you guys see yourselves going?
Yeah, definitely. So right now we're restructuring. We're clarifying where we want to go. It's the end of the year. We've done these 2 big projects and we're trying to niche down on where we want our role to be in this whole syndication puzzle that you put together. There's usually 5-6 different roles that are being played at the general partnership level, at least. So we're niching down. We're figuring out what partners we want to work on, what our niche is specifically. And that's, you know, finding key sponsors with the great deals and really raising capital and due diligence piece of it and investor relations. That's where we really like to focus. So my time commitment, I mean, my day starts early. It's 5:30 and then it'll, you know, finish at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. It's a long day with the W-2 job. Obviously, I'm doing calls at lunch. I'd say on anywhere, I probably work, you know, 4 hours a day in real estate at least.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm lucky to have an IT job where I can work remotely and I can, you know, take that switch and go work on an issue and go work on an IT issue. So I'd love to, our goal is in 2022 is to go full time, you know, build this up into something. It might be sooner, it might be later, but that's kind of our goal in that area. You know, having the W-2 income is a great, I tell this to people, I work with W-2 investors and I say, it's a great asset. It's a great, you know, thing to have and invest on the side. to get started, to get that passive income. Multiple streams of income is always great.
Right, right. No, absolutely. Especially as you're ramping things up. If you've got that steady check to cover the bills, that's a great place to start. So you mentioned capital raising and things like that. I want to kind of find out, I know you said you started with friends and family out of the gate. Is that kind of where you've stayed in your syndications, or have you guys, you know, figured out a way to really raise larger amounts of capital from outside of your known network?
Definitely focused, grew outside of our network. You know, we've been really big on getting on podcasts, on building our website, on building automations behind the website
right.
to create automatic communications to go out. So when we have a call with someone, they have that knowledge, they have that preparation long before we have to call. So we are working on those processes. You know, I'm big on automations and systems. We're working with ActiveCampaign as a technology right now. It's a great tool to automate some of those communications. But we definitely had to reach out. You know, when we started raising, you know, in the millions, so 1.2, you know, 1.25, we just had to do. You friends and family can lead you up to it, but you definitely, you know, you don't want to keep going back to your uncle and asking him for money.
Right.
So, and we want to build a business. We want to make it so systematized that someone can look at it in a couple of years and say, you know, I'd like to purchase that business. We're not going to sell, maybe, who knows at that point, but that's what we're driving towards, creating a sustainable long-term business model.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. Chris, let's jump into the final four. Awesome. If you were to take everything that you've learned here in the last 36 months and distill it down to one piece of advice that you were giving to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
Partner up. I think that was a big issue that I had in the beginning, you know, trying to do it all yourself, and you think you need to know it all yourself. I think we even talked about that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you'll have certain strengths and you'll have weaknesses. Focus on your strengths, find someone else to do the weaknesses. It's much easier scale, it's much faster, and you'll do much better.
Right. That's awesome. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
Journaling. Journal every morning. Oh, man, if you can plan out your day, if you can wake up early and do some kind of journal activity, meditation, I do both of those every morning. Sure, I miss a couple, but yeah, if you can do something for yourself in the morning to set your day off right, that's great.
Right. Man, that's awesome. When it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
For sure. I'm spreading the wealth. I'm spreading the knowledge. I'm all over Bigger Pockets. I write a weekly blog. You know, we try to give back so much education because I don't think it's taught. And we go through these schools and we learn a certain way to grow wealth. And we just spread as much knowledge as we can. So.
Right. That's awesome. And Chris, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. Yeah. Go straight to the website, valkeregroup.com, valkeregroup.com. We've got different ways you can contact us in there. There's a free ebook, you know, but it'll come straight to us. So that's the best way, easiest way. Our social media is on there as well.
Awesome. Chris, thanks so much for your time. It was a pleasure having you on.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.